Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, we're going to be taking a look. It's actually the last in our series of programs that we've been doing with Tom Plager. Tom's Dean and Campus Executive Officer, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County campus, talking about the history of Native Americans here in Wisconsin. It's been really interesting. I've had some great feedback from you about it, and I'm glad to have Tom back as we talk about that period, the European discovery, settlement of North America, that sort of ended the long and separate and independent development of Indian cultures here. And it's usually referred to as the historic period. So we'll talk with him about that today. And you may have questions. Hope you do. And I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. And the email address is talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. Dean Tom Plager, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us by phone today.
Oh, great to be back. And again, always excited to talk about Wisconsin archaeology, prehistory, and history.
Well, it's been a lot of fun for me. As I said, the European discovery of the Americas, that's usually referred to collectively as the historic period. How did the changes in these peoples and their societies make things more difficult for an archaeologist? Or did it make it easier? I think it made it more difficult, didn't it?
Well, it did. So far on the program, we've covered really 13,000 years of cultural development, and the trajectory has been one of increased complexity and new technological developments, increased populations on the landscape. But we covered 13 millennia. And with the advent of the arrival of Europeans, the amount of change, of cultural change, accelerated at an unprecedented rate. Native peoples experienced dramatic changes in technology, in cultural practices, and political rivals with European powers, European diseases. Lots of change had happened within a relatively short period of time. But the terms that we use to describe this, the term that sometimes is used by professionals, proto-historic, refers to this window of time when Europeans are present, and we're talking primarily the French and the Eastern Great Lakes, and their influence pushed further to the west. And there's this period in Wisconsin from in the early 1600s up until the arrival of Nicolet in 1634 that European presence is felt here, but there may not have been Europeans directly in Wisconsin and in our adjacent areas until the 1630s, and that really begins a dramatic different type of interaction, and native lifeways are changed forever.
I think one of the earliest major effects, and you kind of alluded to it, of this European contact was this massive depopulation of native peoples, and mostly through disease, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, and it's really hard to imagine, and I think this is something that often when I taught Wisconsin archaeology on a regular basis, that students are just amazed to think about European diseases such as smallpox, measles, various strains of flu that spread ahead of European peoples, and this is before both Europeans and native peoples had an understanding of the biology associated with these types of diseases. And some of the archaeological estimates and estimates from reading some of the early historic documents, the Jesuit Relations and so forth, suggest that perhaps in a conservative estimate, is 60% of the native population died within first generation of contact with Europeans. And this is due to the fact that native peoples didn't have resistance to these diseases. They hadn't experienced them. They had been isolated populations for 13,000 years. And it had just a profound impact on native peoples. And when you think about those numbers, you think about the type of attention that the H1N1 virus is getting today. Imagine diseases that were fatal, where 6 in 10 people that you knew might die of a disease that you'd never seen before and didn't understand the mechanisms in which it spread. And it caused depopulation, collapsing of political structures and old patterns of doing things that within a very short period of time required native peoples to adapt to making a living very differently than how they lived prior to the arrival of Europeans.
Yeah, and how did they adapt?
Well, we know that in some cases that this depopulation caused the sort of shrinking of the aggregates of people that were living together, that in some cases agricultural practices declined, and in other cases people dispersed and moved back into hunting and gathering patterns. So it's no surprise, we talked about mound building last time, that mound construction, which involved significant numbers of people and complexity, really was not taking place in Wisconsin when Europeans first arrived. European disease and this depopulation may have accelerated or caused some of the collapse of the complexity that existed here prior.
And as we look at another aspect of this, I think is trade, European trade. It had some influence on the kinds of things that native peoples made for themselves, perhaps?
It certainly did. Europeans, of course, were using glass technology, alloyed metal technology, iron technology, brass kettles, complex textiles. Wool was a textile that, of course, was not available in the Americas, and it was a marvel of its day. It remained warm when it was wet. All of these types of things, as well as alcohol, became commodities that were brought into the Great Lakes, first by the French, later the English, and then traded by early American colonials to native peoples. And they interjected new technologies, and the trade mechanisms of establishing trading for furs and other commodities that native peoples had also caused a disruption in the cultural practices that existed prior to Europeans. Prior to the arrival of native peoples, most of the economy was based on subsistence and making a living. And when Europeans explored this region and saw the resources that, particularly in the case of furs, that native peoples had access to, it really changed the economy dramatically in a very short window of time.
Very short time. Chris in Madison has a question. By the way, if you'd like to join in, the number to call for you with your question is 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Chris in Madison now. Chris, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My question is related to some of those novel diseases that the Europeans brought with them. Is there any evidence that STDs were brought with, or were they already here?
Well, that's a very interesting question. There's quite a bit of research on this subject, and particularly the origins of syphilis and the relationship and exchange of syphilis between native populations and European populations. And it's something that I'm not immediately current on, but it's very easy to find access to researchers. And if you just do a quick search on the web, there are telltale signs and skeletal anatomy that indicate these types of diseases and how they spread, and clearly Europeans interacted and no doubt intermarried with Europeans, particularly or Europeans and native peoples, particularly in the case of the French, and so there's no question that some types of diseases were transmitted via these mechanisms.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. The historic period in the Great Lakes area was, I think it was a George Quimby who divided that kind of into three sections.
Yes, there are really four. Proto-historic, as I mentioned earlier, refers to this time period of in our case, with early 17th century, when there are Europeans in the eastern Great Lakes, but not directly in the western Great Lakes. The early historic period, from roughly 1610, in the case of Wisconsin, 1634, last to about 1670, and it's marked by this first exploration by the French into Wisconsin. And then the middle historic period, which is defined as approximately AD 1670 to 1760, is really the spread of the fur trade, the development of missionaries, the creation of outposts here in Wisconsin at places like LeBay and Green Bay, Prairie du Chien, LaPointe up in the Apostle Islands, and the establishment of a regular French presence in the region. And then the late historic period is marked by an increase in trade. The French are eventually supplanted by the English and eventually American control over what we call Wisconsin. And technologically, and from the archaeological record, we can see different types of European goods that mark the development of this historical sequence in terms of the types of interaction and the European powers that are present in Wisconsin.
And could you talk a little bit about those about that?
Sure. There's a real dramatic change in technology with the arrival of Europeans. I alluded to some of these technologies a little earlier. We see iron tools for the first time, things like, and very mundane but utilitarian tools, things like files and knives and axes and woodworking tools, fish hooks that were produced by Europeans to trade to Native Americans. One technology that shows up all across the Great Lakes with the arrival of Europeans is glass technology, and in particular glass beads. Native peoples had tremendous craft production in terms of ornaments and jewelry and decoration of costume and regalia, and Europeans were able to mass produce glass beads of a variety of different colors and forms that were highly sought after by Native peoples for decoration of clothing and costuming. And different beads were produced at different times in Europe, and so they are sometimes very good indicators of the age of an archaeological site when we see certain types of glass beads. Brass, in the form of kettles, cooking items made out of brass, it's common on early historic and middle historic sites to see Native peoples actually cut up these brass goods and turn them into other items because the metal was so valuable to them. One other technology that's quite intriguing Native peoples, of course, developed tobacco smoking. There was a lot of energy in the production of smoking pipes. Europeans saw this and began to mass produce smoking pipes and trade them back to Europeans. And they were often made out of white clays made by the thousands and brought over to the Great Lakes region and traded for furs. So a whole variety of technologies that weren't present that Native peoples were attracted to and often moved to locations where they had access to European trade.
Let's take some more calls. Linda in Green Bay, we turn to you next. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm kind of like going backwards here, but you often hear about how the Europeans always brought these illnesses that the Native Americans had no protection against. Were there any illnesses that the Indians had that the Europeans were susceptible to because they never had any immunity to them?
Oh, interesting question, too.